Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
What issues around your house are staring you in the face this weekend?
Do I get the sanded grout or the unsanded grout?
The last 3 or 4 years, I've been fighting mildew issues.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Whatever questions you have.
This isn't real earth-shattering.
Lou is here to help.
I'm only taking earth-shattering questions. Can you give me an earth-shattering question?
Waking up, shaking yesterday's blues, yeah.
Yeah, here it comes.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
It's a brand new day. Ain't no clouds hanging over.
Welcome in. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. This hour of our show is sponsored by Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating, by MSS Exteriors, and by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Good morning to Don Kleppen. Good morning to Joe Brand. Don, I'm sorry I was yelling in your ear. I had the wrong button pushed while you were doing your news.
Good morning, Lou. No worries, man.
Sorry about that. Nice to see you boys this morning. When you call in this morning, Lindsay has a cold, and she sounds a lot like a guy named Ben Anderson when you call in. So when you're like, Lindsay, what's wrong with your voice? It's really not Lindsay. It's Ben this morning. So he's filling in. Lindsay is away at a girls' weekend, girls' gone wild weekend. Do they still have that thing? Wasn't that a video series years ago?
is she trying to bring them back? I mean,
I don't know.
Cycling trends, man.
This is kind of funny. Wait, Ben is on the phone, and I don't want to put Ben on the spot here while he's on the phone. But so Ben Anderson, do you guys know Ben? Have you met Ben before?
Oh yeah, of course I know Ben.
Okay, so Ben and I have not worked together. Only when I've been on remotes, Ben has worked as the studio producer here on this end. So it was nice to have Ben here this morning. You know, filling in. You know, we're just chit chatting back and forth, and you know, Lindsay obviously is putting the show together, and she's telling us, you know, telling me, okay, you're going to talk to this, that. She goes, oh, I go, who's producing the show? And she's like, well, that I know. The producer is going to be a guy by the name of Ben Anderson. I go, oh, who's Ben Anderson? She goes, oh, well, he's the guy that's produced for you when you've been on remotes. I go, oh, that's great. She goes, and so then she texts me. She goes, wait, hold on. This is funny. And I did ask Ben if he was okay with me talking about this. She said, sorry, I know who that is. It's Ben Anderson. She goes, he just had kidney stones. Fun fact. I go,
what? How is that fun?
Wait. She goes, fun fact. I go, lucky him. She goes, Adam Duffy had to drive him to the ER while he was producing a couple weeks ago. Is that true?
Yeah. Right. I was here in pregame for White Sox Blackhawks.
Right. So he had kidney stones and had to be driven. And I go, wow. And I go, that's hard. Okay, stay with me. And she goes, I really like him. This is Lindsay saying this about you. I go, and then she didn't get what I said. See, that's hard. She goes, I go, see what I did there? She's like, ooh, I did not catch that. She goes, but that's funny. She goes, but it's okay. It was a stone's throw away.
Oh, boy. I didn't know Steve Alexander was back here.
It keeps going.
Too.
Where's the shot here? I go, we're both funny, but it sounds like he was between a rock and a hard place.
Oh, boy.
She goes, darn, that was obvious. Well done. You rock. I go, papers cover rock. And she goes, that's it. I'm out.
Yeah. Wow. Ben, I hope you enjoyed your last day.
Right. So here's poor Ben. We literally have just met, and now I'm on the air for, 5 minutes, and I've already made fun of your kidney stones. But importantly, are you feeling better?
Oh, much.
Have you ever had them before?
No.
Awful, right?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh, I mean, I've never had them, but I've had friends and family members. And I mean, you're a young man. That drink lots of water. I'm sure they're telling you all that kind of stuff,
plan.
Right? Wow, that is a bummer. So anyway.
It's all in the past. So.
Good. Good. Hopefully we won't need to rush you to the hospital here today, other than you'll probably just be like, you know, you'll probably kill me by the end of the day.
At this point, I know my route.
All right. So anyway, say hi to Ben when you call 312-981-7200. He'll be on with me all morning this morning. A little bit later on this morning, we're going to talk with a VP of product development for a company called Gianni, which is a countertop paint product. that if you have laminate countertops and you want to transform them to look like marble, it's really an interesting system that's affordable, and you'll be amazed at the results. I was amazed when I saw them, for sure. So stay tuned for that coming up. But let's get to your phone calls, 312-981-7200. And we'll start with Dominic, who's in Franklin Park. Dominic, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I've been listening to you for years, and I've always tried to call and never get through. But my situation, my problems, you solve them just by listening to you every Saturday.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Thank you.
You're a prethel. Anyways, I'm right by O'Hare. Right behind me is an old quarry, which is now filled in. This year, I mean, we've had them before, but look, it's getting the I can almost make snakeskin boots already.
You have a problem with snakes?
Yeah, the gardener. I mean, and they're already shedding.
Right.
I mean, we have low grass, no trees in the backyard, 5 dogs, so there's another reason why we have no flowers. And these things just keep getting this year is the worst. I've had to see at least 15 of them already.
Yeah. Now, you said that, tell me what's the surrounding around your yard? Is it other homes, or there's a field, yeah, or what is it?
Other homes. My yard is fenced all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Right next block behind me, there's another block of houses, but then it's the old quarry that was filled in. And I've also got runway, 23 right, a block and a half from that.
Got it. Right. Okay.
I mean, I've seen coyotes out front. That doesn't bother me, but I'm not a snake person.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So you're like, what's his name not Crocodile Dundee. What was he? The guy that didn't like snakes in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like snakes.
I mean, I've watched YouTube, and, I've seen all the products that you can buy at the big box, and they're all saying that, it's a myth. And I'm calling the expert.
Well, I mean, I will tell you that, eliminating snakes is a really tough one. I have had pretty good luck, and I've actually personally tried this product. Bonide makes a product called Snake Away, and it's a repellent.
You know what? I had a gallon of that last year, and, it's granules, correct?
It's granules, correct.
Yeah. And, they stayed away for a little while. I applied it again, but they started getting in. But not as bad as this year.
Right. You have to reapply this quite a bit. That's the issue with this product. It's a granule. It comes in a gallon jug, and around the perimeter of area of your yard, it's a scent, and it's also something that if it gets on their physical, I don't know if body's the right word, but I guess it is. It irritates them, and they go other places. And so, if you bought a couple gallons and did a perimeter around your home and probably applied it every 4 days, I think you'll see a reduction in the amount of snake activity. But it's a really tough one to get rid of. There's also some traps and things you can do, but then you have to deal with all that. If it were me, I'd continue to do the repellents and hopefully force them. Any kind of rodent or pest like that, they're all creatures of habit. And once they get used to coming into one area, they just keep coming back. And so by using these repellents on a consistent basis, you annoy them enough that they it's like a learned behavior. I don't want to go over there because it doesn't feel right. It doesn't smell right. I'm going to go somewhere else. But if you don't stay on it day after day or every few days, then you don't annoy them enough, and then they just keep coming back. So that's the key, whether you're trying to get rid of snakes, chipmunks, squirrels, raccoons, skunks, you name it. You just have to stay at it so that they're uncomfortable in that situation, and then they'll go somewhere else. Dominic, thank you so much for your phone call. I'm just bumping up against time. You're listening to Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
Back to your host of House Smarts Radio, Lou Manfredini, on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Don's in Naperville. Hey, Don, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
We have a treated wood deck built in the mid-80s. Really good condition structurally. 2 years ago, we had it sanded down by a fellow that did an interior floor for us. And then my wife and I stained it. We used a transparent wood deck kind of stain. Last year, we decided, well, let's put one more coat of stain on and give a little more color to it. We did that. And shortly thereafter, it just started to come off. You walk on it, it wore off easily. I'd swear that when the wind blew, it blew the stain off.
Right.
I wondered, was it sanded too finely? But in either case, what should I do to prep it, and what product would you recommend to put on it in terms of a stain?
When it comes to any kind of deck staining, and in particular, Don, in your situation where you have wood that is so old, it almost, you know, petrified is the wrong term, but there's this thing called a wood sheen that comes over the top of it that it actually closes the fibers of the wood. And if you do not sand and open up the fibers of the wood with at least a medium grit paper, you won't give the stain a chance to absorb into the wood at all. Okay. And that is the step that a lot of people, they're like, oh, I cleaned the deck or I pressure washed it. That's great. But if you don't do the sanding, it really is the situation that you have right now is what's going to happen. So I would, you know, rent or maybe have a pressure washer, clean it up really well, and then get a medium grit or even a coarse grit sandpaper and sand that surface down to open it up. It's okay if it's got a little bit of a rough feel to it because you're going to walk on this, and the anti-slip characteristics would be a positive. Once you do that, and it's not in direct sunlight, we're not over 80 degrees, which, you know, these days, my gosh, if winter ever decides to leave, I want you to use an oil-based product called Penofin.
Penofin?
Penofin. P-E-N-O-F-I-N. Penofin is a rosewood oil-based deck stain that you're going to brush on, and you're going to do 3-4 of the boards at a time, brush it on, come back, and then wipe it away, almost like you're staining a dining room table. And it is going to soak in, and it's really going to grab on tightly to the fibers, and you're going to really have wonderful results. It's going to last a while.
Okay, would that probably last a couple of years, maybe?
Absolutely.
At best?
Yeah. Two to three years on average you're going to get out of a deck stain like that.
Local ace people have that product?
Your local ace people may. It's a dealer option, so some have it, some don't. If you go to their website, P-E-N-O-F-I-N, penofin.com, they have a dealer locator, and you can find a dealer in your area that sells it.
I just tried to be a good straight man, Lou. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate your calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. A quick break, and then we'll get to news.
I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't.
Whatever's making you scratch your head this weekend, Lou is here to help.
We've got a problem with black mold.
That a beep in my living room.
My furnace.
It's humming.
Just give him a call. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
At the stars tonight.
Welcome back, House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Lindsay's off today. Say hi to Ben when you call in, 312-981-7200. Hey, Joe Brand, I have an NFL draft question.
Okay, I'll try my best.
All right, well, I don't know. The Bears have like the 869th pick, right, of whatever it is.
Yeah, something like that.
But do the people on the practice squad get drafted? If you're a player, right? I mean, people can have a career, right?
Typically, no. They're all the non-drafted signees that they'll ink deals with after the whole draft.
And is it like a they probably even those people have agents or something, right? Like,
yeah,
hey,
typically
I got this big monster of a guy who can play on the practice squad and blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
blah.
Yeah. Typically, actually, a couple of years ago, I stood up in a wedding, and my buddy from ISU, and he was a long snapper for the ISU football team, and it was around this time, and all the draft rounds went through. And when he was standing up at the altar, his agent called his uncle to tell him that the Ravens wanted to have a workout deal with him. And then later on, he ended up signing with the New Orleans Saints.
Really?
Yeah, it was really cool. He had quite a day.
Wow.
He got married and also signed by an NFL team, yeah.
As on the practice squad.
Yes, yes, correct.
And I would imagine, I mean, not that you're making millions of dollars, but it's...
You got to make a league minimum, I'm pretty sure, on the practice squad.
Oh, really?
Or the practice squad minimum.
So better than, you know, working at a, you know, fast food restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit.
Right.
It depends. I think those places have benefits now, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm not knocking fast food restaurants. Absolutely not. But, I mean, you're not going to, you know, live in Winnetka.
Right.
You know.
No, he, yeah, it was a great day for him. And, yes, that's what happens. If you don't get drafted, then you still have a chance to get, because, you know, the kickers and the long snappers and things like that, they'll usually sign deals afterwards once they realize they're not going to get drafted.
Right. Cool. All right, look at that. You did a fine job on your draft talk.
Whew. All right, don't ask me anymore. That was fine. Probably my best one.
All right, we'll stop at the top. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Dave, who's in Glen Ellen. Dave, good morning. You're on WGN.
Hey, Lou, how are you?
Good, sir. How can I help you?
Hey, I got a 1930 bungalow, and we rehabbed a lot of the things in the house. I did a lot of stuff myself, of course, but... my question is it has three layers of roof shingles on there, and I've got 1x6s up there, and we're getting ready to re-roof this house, and there's no insulation whatsoever in the walls. However, there is a little insulation up on top, and from the roof line to the ceiling, there's about 2.5 feet, so obviously I can't get up there. So I'm wondering if I should blow in insulation, take off one of the 1x6s, and blow in insulation before we re-roof this thing totally.
I'm trying to follow you here. First of all, are we taking the roof down to the sheathing?
Yes.
Okay, so we're taking that all down.
Right.
And then currently, when you're in your attic, it's an unfinished attic?
I've got a loft and a bedroom up there and a bathroom. And then from the ceiling to the
peak
line.
So ceiling to the peak.
Yes, is 2.5 feet. So it's very difficult, obviously, to crawl up in there and, you know, put in insulation.
But there's no insulation. So then the other part, okay, so where that roof is and that 2.5 feet, the rest of the roof line is drywalled and finished, correct?
Yes, correct.
And there's no insulation in there?
In the knee walls, I believe there's insulation on the walls.
How about the angle portion of the ceiling?
The angle portion of the ceiling is not insulated.
Okay. Here's my only concern, is if you insulate that top corner, you know, or triangle, rather, at the top...
Right. Right.
You're gonna block any airflow that's gonna come up through those rafters.
That's what I thought. Right.
Which is gonna be caused by the heat differential, you know, whether it's cold or hot outside and the cold or hot inside that space. And I think you'll create more of an issue for yourself now, because with the blowing of the insulation, it's hard to control where everything goes. If you just wanted to add some bat insulation up in there where you could place it and still allow venting to occur, I'm fine with that. But blowing in insulation and potentially sealing it up, I think would create more problems for you, Dave.
Right. Yeah, we have...
How do you heat and cool that portion?
So we have a space pack that was put in.
Okay.
And they, you know, they put holes in and through the plaster and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to control the heating and cooling. In the summertime, that the air conditioning never stops.
Right.
I mean, it is just so darn hot up there.
Right.
And during the wintertime, especially, you know, with the minus 50 degrees this winter, we were down to on the main floor. We were down to 59 degrees.
Yeah.
So it's a problem as far as, you know, insulating the walls, of course, and the insulation, period, within the house.
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to take off the roof and you're going to get down to the sheathing, and then you're going to basically have 1x6s that I would imagine have gaps in them, correct?
Correct.
It's a little bit, you'd have to find the right contractor, but they could put in insulation and fill each one of those spaces with insulation, you know, the rafter spaces. If you fill it totally and block all the airflow, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Right.
But that's a little tricky. Most insulation contractors aren't going to want to get up on a roof to do that.
Right. Should I be putting also plywood down?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right. The other thing too, you know, I mean, it's a bunch of different things to consider, but the insulation will certainly help you. What might make more sense is to, when you have this roof put in, is think about a whole like a whole house fan up there.
Yeah, where, my next door neighbor, he has a gable fan that goes all the way through.
Right.
And now we don't have that.
That would help. Or I'm thinking on that flat part of the ceiling of like the bedroom or the top of the stairs, you cut in a whole house fan where there's a vent there that then gets mounted by the roofer during this process that opens up and you can use it to pull all that hot air out of there.
Yeah, I have two solar fans that are, you know, attic fans that are up there.
Well, those are attic fans. This would vent the space, the living space.
Right. Right.
And that would help you tremendously as far as your comfort level, and it would also keep the air conditioner from running as often. And when that fan runs, it, you know, it uses hardly any electricity at all. You won't even feel it on your electric bill. Whole house fan would really make a lot of sense there. Thanks so much for the phone call, Dave. I'm just bumping up against time. It's 7:48 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Looking for some help this morning on your home improvement project?
How handy of a guy are you, Tom? Tom, are you still there?
You've got a question, he's got a solution.
Well, you're my how-to man. When I have a question, I call you. Your how-to.
Your go-to handyman. It's Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Help me down, but
I got up. Welcome back. Get ready, because I've had enough. Hey, we actually have a Noodaloo 2 for you this morning. We don't do it every week anymore, but when we find something that we think is pretty good, I want to share it with you. There's a lot of talk about allergies and how this is going to be a really tough season. I have to be completely honest with you. I'm someone that suffers from seasonal allergies, and it has not hit me yet. How about you, Ben? Are you an allergy guy?
Oh, yeah.
And has it already hit you?
Not yet.
Not yet, right? It seems pretty late. Yeah. Joe Brand, do you get seasonal allergies this time of year?
I don't. I'm pretty lucky. I never really have.
Yeah. Man, you're talented, you're young, you're handsome, and no allergies. Is this part of why that beautiful girl decided to say yes to marry you?
I guess so. I mean, hopefully something that I'm doing right. I do have this problem where I walk outside and I look at the sun. That'll make me sneeze, but I think a lot of people deal with that.
I think that's just weird. Okay, so Joe doesn't have allergies, but Ben and I do. But it hasn't affected us yet. But if you are someone that suffers from allergies, or you're always worried about the indoor air quality or the outdoor air quality, this Noodaloo 2 might be something for you to consider.
Did you know we take 25,000 breaths each day? How many of those breaths are good quality? Studies show our indoor environments can actually be worse than outside, leaving us with physical symptoms like headaches, fatigue, those nasty allergies, or worse. Well, you're going to save time and money and your breath with this week's new Noodaloo 2, the Air Visual Pro Air Quality Monitor from IQ Air. The Air Visual Pro is a professional-grade, highly accurate indoor-outdoor air quality monitoring system that displays real-time outdoor air quality readings plus indoor temp and humidity. You can link up your Air Visual Pro to all of your connected home technology or set up alerts about air quality changes for your smartphone, bringing the power of your clean air into your 21st century lifestyle home. On top of displaying that real-time indoor-outdoor air quality, the monitor's large 5-inch color LCD screen offers 3-day outdoor air quality forecasts and provides tailored recommendations to optimize air quality and minimize air pollution exposure. The Air Visual Pro monitors PM 2.5, CO2, temperature, and humidity, both indoors and outdoors, and displays the data both on the monitor and on the app and website. Pricing is about $269. It's super small, super portable. You can take it anywhere with you, and you can find out more at IQAir.com. I'll put a link up on Lou's Facebook and Instagram so you can breathe a little easier.
That's this week's New to Lou 2.
It's a really cool item. It's a little desktop unit you can plug in. It's actually battery operated as well. And with sensors that it can use remotely, it can do the indoor air quality, outdoor air quality. And I think for people that want to breathe easy and understand what's going on, it makes a lot of sense. It's not cheap. It's not an inexpensive item. $269 for this thing. So if you're interested in it and it's something that you really want to monitor, check out their website, iqair.com. It's iqair.com is the website. 312-981-7200 is my phone number, our phone number, that Ron called in Wheaton. Hey, Ron, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, those aren't blues. Those are loos.
Attaboy, attaboy. Do you have your shovel ready?
I've got the shovel ready, and actually I'm calling about maybe what the winter's done to my less than a year old concrete patio. I've got a couple areas of, I don't know if you call it scaling or if it's peeling, and I was wondering what do you recommend
to, like, it's popping?
Fix that.
It's popping up?
In a couple spots, and even more like a peel, if you will.
But are you seeing, when it peels up like a spalding there, do you see stone underneath it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know if they sealed that patio?
They did, yeah. But I also know that when they were curing it, it was raining a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
it weakened the cream on the top. Okay, couple things.
Yep.
Here's what I want you to do. There is a product that you may find at your local Ace or online. They were a sponsor here for a while, but it's a really good product called Tintcrete. T-I-N-T, Crete. Tintcrete.
Got it. Tintcrete. Okay.
And since you only have a little, they have a little 3-pound bottle that you can buy this stuff in. Mix it with water. And they make it an old concrete color and new concrete color, so you're going to go with the new. And I want you to mix this up, and in those areas where you see that little peeling, you're going to put this on with a trowel and then use a little brush or whatever to blend it all in, and it's going to look pretty nice, and it's going to hold up really well. Along with that purchase, I want you to reseal the concrete yourself with a product called Bone Dry.
Bone Dry.
B-O-N-E, Dry. There are dealers around you, but you can also find it on their website. It's not cheap. It's like $70 for a gallon. But this is a silicate-based sealer for concrete that Ron is going to, when you apply it properly, it's going to penetrate the concrete about an inch. And it is going to bond all those fibers of that concrete together, and it is going to limit, if not eliminate, any peeling to happen ever again.
Awesome. Awesome.
Stay away from rock salt and that kind of stuff. Just use regular, like, potassium or calcium chloride melt on there, and don't use a ton of it if that's what you're going to use, because that's what really tears it up. Thanks so much for the phone call. We'll be right back.
The name game.
Two words. Lou Manfredini. Six syllables, two words.
Shelly, 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 Bo Burley, Bo Nana, Banna, Bo Furley, Fee, Fi, Mo Merrily. Shirley.
Five syllables.
Lou Manfredini. You're right. Lou
Manfredini. Lincoln, 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 Bo Bingan, Bo Nana, Banna, Bo Bingan, Fee, Fi, Mo Mingan. Lincoln.
Louis Manfredini. I was thinking of his full name.
Right.
Actually, Lou Manfredini is only five syllables, but Louis Manfredini is six.
And now back to your host, Mr. Louis Manfredini.
I just saw a post from my friend Al Roker. Good morning, everybody. He's in Chicago, walking along the lakefront, showing a beautiful sunrise. And then Don is lying to us about this snow event. Stop making up the news, Don.
Hey,
this hour of House Smarts Radio, sponsored by Fox Home Center, by ChevyDriveChicago.com, and by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Before I get back to your phone calls, though, Don and Joe and Ben, I have a question for you.
What up?
Do any of you have any relevance or belief in divine intervention?
Yes.
Deep.
I know.
Yeah.
Stay with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Divine intervention. Like, do things happen in your life sometimes? And be totally honest. I'm not judging. I'm just curious about, like, wow, I can't believe that just happened.
Yeah, I do buy into that. I do think that there is sometimes
Ben?
It feels
Ben's
like
kind of moving his head back.
Not really.
So we're in Los Angeles last week for Easter. Our daughter Carmen lives out in Los Angeles, and we go to Easter Mass with our family. A lovely Catholic church in Long Beach, California, where my sister-in-law and my niece live. Lovely day, and this priest was a really cool guy, and he's given his homily. And it was kind of a California thing, because I turned to my daughter, and he's like, hi, everybody, happy Easter. And he goes, so I'm on the 405. And I'm turning on Los Padres, and so the Californians, they love to talk about the street. It's like a bit from Saturday Night Live.
The 101.
Yeah, I'm on the 101. No, dude, you got to take the 405. So, and Carmen and I both laugh at each other, and he says, you know that intersection at Los Verdes, he says, that light when you turn left, it turns pretty quick when you get the arrow. And kind of I'm looking around the congregation, everybody's nodding. They know what he's talking about. And he goes, normally, I'm the second guy. This is the priest speaking. I'm the second car behind the person in front of me. And normally, you know, I'm in a hurry. I'm going to wherever he was going, and I'll be right on that guy's tail so I can turn and make that light. Light turns green, the arrow goes, the guy in front of him goes. And he goes, for some reason, I didn't go right away. I paused for just a minute. He goes, it wasn't a conscious effort. I just didn't go right away. I've turned on that street, he says, you know, 1,000 times, but this time I didn't do it. At that moment, when he started to accelerate, a van came flying through the red light and blew through the intersection. Didn't hit anybody, but it would have hit him. He goes, had I gone, what stopped me? So it was kind of a cool story, right? And there's been, right? And so there's been things that happen in your life sometimes. You're like, whatever, you know, this and that. Wednesday night, I went to the Cubs game. And I went with John Williams. Actually, my son, Quinn, he buys a pack of bleacher tickets, and he couldn't go. And he said, Dad, I got these two tickets. Why don't you go? So I called John up. He lives near Wrigley Field. I said, hey, John, how about I come to you? I'll park at your house, and we'll walk over to the game. So I'm cruising down Broadway Avenue, heading south, going towards John's house. It's bumper-to-bumper traffic. And, I'm 2-3 minutes away from John's house. And bumper-to-bumper traffic stops. There's a crosswalk. I see this couple standing on the crosswalk, and I stop. You know, A, it's the law, and B, you know, no one's going anywhere. 1, 2, 3. A guy rear-ends me.
Man.
Pretty hard. $5,000 damage to the rear of my car. They totaled this guy's car.
Oh, man.
So I get out of the car, and, you know, I'm like, oh, man. You know, I look at the couple, and I go, you guys okay? Because, you know, plastic went flying and that kind of stuff. Oh, no, we're fine. And I go over to this guy, are you okay? And he had a dog in the car. Is the dog okay? As I'm walking to the car, Joe, guy goes, hey, Lou Manfredini, I love you on WGN. I go, thanks. Or, you know, thanks. Guy just smashed my car. And so I said to the guy, you okay? Okay, let's pull over. And this poor guy, he's shaking. You know, I go, don't worry about it. It's just a piece of metal. It's not a. He goes, dude, I wasn't on my phone. He goes, I just looked down. He goes, I looked down for a minute and then I hit you. And I go, it's okay. Nobody got hurt, whatever. And so, whatever. The car's going to get fixed. It's a piece of metal. All that matters is no one got hurt, right? And so now I've told this story several times to different people, just exactly what I just said. Last night, I told the story to a group of friends. We had a little dinner party last night. And I told the story about this priest. And all of a sudden, I just connected the dots. Had I not been the car that stopped before that crosswalk, as those people were crossing the crosswalk, and that guy was still looking down?
Oh, yeah. That's not good.
No guarantees that would have happened. Maybe they would have seen it. But think about that. Like, I didn't put those two and two together, but had I not stopped, because it was literally, I stopped, and I was stopped, and it was 3 seconds later in my mind. It was like, I stopped, just sitting there. Bam, he smashes into me. So now if I'm not there, and that couple's walking across the street, thinking, oh, that guy's going to stop, does he hit them?
Yeah. Ugh. Freaky stuff, man. Yeah.
Right? That's freaky stuff to think about.
And
right?
A lot of times in car accidents, people are quickly triggered to get all heated about the situation. But like you said, if everyone's okay, I mean, that's the main thing at first.
It's a piece of metal right. And a bunch of plastic. And you know what? It's right. Like, so what?
Yeah, completely replaced. A monkey wrench in your day. But
exactly. I mean, yeah, I cares? Wish my car wasn't smashed, but that's why you have insurance. And that's why everybody does all that stuff. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. It's just an interesting thing. A, all that matters is don't get hurt, but you just wonder. A weird set of circumstances where here I go, I'm in California and hearing this priest talk about his close call and what potentially could have been a close call for this couple who I don't know who they are. They were fine. And the only thing got hurt was a couple cars. Interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Deep thoughts here on House Smart.
I thought you were going to say the guy said, hey, you look like just like that Lou Manfredini guy. And then you say, yeah, that's me. Yeah, you wish.
I had a guy say that to me. My son Max's prom is tonight. So he had to get a tuxedo. And he got, you know, they take it in or whatever. I go to pick it up. And I didn't have the ticket. And I go, I don't have the ticket. Can I pick up my son's tuxedo? What's the name? I go, Massimo Manfredini. Guy goes, Manfredini. Comes back. Are you related to that Lou Manfredini on the radio? I go, I am. He goes, what are you, like a cousin or a brother? I go, no, I'm Lou Manfredini. No, you're not. I go, I am. He goes, no way. He goes, I listen to you all the time. I go, well, that's nice. I go, it's really, oh, now that I hear you talk, it was just really funny. Are you like a cousin or a brother? I go, sort of.
How are you related?
Yeah. How are you related? Closer than you think.
Twice removed.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Kathy in Chicago. Kathy, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Good. I have birds, so you might hear them in the background.
Okay.
They're not involved in this. My brother came over and helped me, well, actually, he did the work, hang a ceiling fan in my bedroom. And the problem we have is that when we got it all finished, we turned the fan on, it scrapes on one side. And yet, when you look at the fan, it's hanging perfectly straight. It's a fan and a light. And so my landlord came up because he had helped us with the electricity and things. And we looked at it, and I said, I think the wall or the ceiling is uneven. And so we're thinking that we have to take the whole thing down.
No. Hold on a minute. When you say it scrapes, meaning that the fan blade is hitting the ceiling, or it's scraping the body of the fan?
Scraping the body of the fan.
Oh, okay. And is this fan on a drop rod, or is it a flush mount?
It's a flush mount.
Okay. Now, when you're, is this with a little stepladder or something, are you able to, with the fan off, step up on a ladder and manually turn the blades yourself?
Yes.
Okay. And you can see the point where it's scraping the ceiling.
Right.
That housing...
We're not scraping the ceiling. Scraping the mounting.
Okay. That housing that's around the body of the fan, you know, it's like a... What color is the fan? White?
No, it's a chrome. Okay. Bronze color.
Okay. So that bronze color housing that, you know, has a couple of screws that is held in place to the actual mounting part that's at the ceiling, that's probably tweaked or twisted. And if you loosen the screws that are holding it and just rotate it a little bit, and then also the fan itself as it mounts, if it's a flush mount, there's like a metal plate that you mounted to the box, correct?
Yes.
And then there's a hook that you hook the body of the fan, and then you clip it up in there, and then you finish off with the housing. Something's not sitting right inside that housing, and it just needs to be adjusted.
Yeah, but
The ceiling has nothing to do with it. That housing itself, I mean, okay, let's say the ceiling is uneven, and you're more than likely, if you cranked down on that mounting bracket that's against the ceiling, you may need to just loosen the screw a little bit and maybe put a washer behind it to shim it a little bit, and you'll solve the problem.
Yeah, that's what we were kind of thinking.
Right.
We would need to do is to get a level and...
Not a level, just get a shim, a wood shim, and where that metal bracket is, loosen the trim housing. There's a couple screws you should be able to angle with a screwdriver to loosen. Get a shim underneath it to just pop it until you can rotate it by hand, and you'll solve the problem.
So we don't need to take everything down?
No, you do not. This is an adjustment
then
you can do from a ladder.
How do we get to the shim? How do we get to put the shim in there?
You take the, I want you to take the housing, the finished housing with the two screws, loosen that up, and you should be able to turn it a little bit, and it drops down a little bit. You'll see the metal plate that's mounted up against the wall.
Okay.
You should be able, go ahead.
I don't think we can because there's a light on it.
Well, the light's below.
Yeah.
This is
well,
at the
okay. We'll
this,
try that. Then.
Try
that would be better than taking the whole thing down.
Try just driving a shim in there by hand and just kind of tap it in with a little hammer, and then I think you'll solve the problem. No more scrapey.
Good, because it's
driving
a long
you crazy
time for us to get it up.
Understood. I think if you do that, you will solve the problem for sure. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll be right back. It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. Remember this name, Sono, as in so no. You're not going to believe how fabulous this engineered flooring is. Built with a ceramic composite core, it withstands high traffic areas like kitchens, both residential and commercial. It's stain and fade resistant with dust-free installation, no power tools required. Flooring locks into place for easy installation with better acoustics than any other flooring. Plus, it's 100% free of toxic chemicals. Sono really is better to the core. Just another reason to see what's new at Builder Supply Outlet. Have a question about your home for Lou?
Why?
Good thing you're tuned in to House Smarts Radio. Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini.
Where she will stay. Welcome back. Before we get back to your phone calls, I want to enlighten you on a countertop procedure that may actually help to bring your old laminate countertops, or really any sort of surface that you may have, back to life with a brand new product. Joining me on the phone line is Tim Haas. Tim is a vice president of product development over at Gianni Incorporated. I had the chance to talk with Tim on a couple other shows that I do. Tim, welcome to House Smarts Radio on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you very much for having me on.
I want to give you an opportunity to tell our audience about your company, what it is you guys make, and specifically the product we're talking about today.
Great. I'd love to. Our company is a Midwestern-based company, and it's been in existence for 15 years. And their focus primarily when they first started was making high-tech specialty coatings for coatings to protect the decks like aircraft carriers. So they have a lot of chemists, really high tech. And by sheer happenstance, actually myself, I was working on refinishing my first kitchen, and I was looking for a coating to paint. We had some old white refrigerators, and I wanted to make them look like stainless steel, and I didn't have the money for it. And so I went to our chemist at the company and said, can they do that? And after about a year of R&D, they came up with a coating to create a stainless steel coating for appliances. And as a result of that, people started asking us, can we do other things in the kitchens? And lo and behold, they worked on, again, for about a year, a countertop coating where they could make laminate and make it look like granite, or now our newest thing is marble. So it's a do-it-yourself kit that allows people to get past the hurdle of really the countertops in many cases are kind of like the starting stop or a block to refinishing or updating in a kitchen because it's so expensive to do a granite or a marble. And this is a way to kind of get people to get past go.
There's really been a huge advancements in the chemistry of these coatings. I mean, you know, if we go back 15 years, you know, there have been countertop paints forever, but they literally were just paint and, you know, you had all these restrictions about, well, don't do this and don't do that and don't do this. And it is still a painted finish, but even yours, but the technology of the strength and the bonding is what's really the game changer in all of this, isn't it?
Absolutely, because there has been so much emphasis we've put on waterborne coating technology because of the movements by the EPA, rightfully so, to get away from the solvents and the hazardous materials. And so as a result of that, all that time and investment in that waterborne chemistry has allowed them to create. In fact, we're using a automotive-grade waterborne chemistry or acrylic or polyurethane for our tops. So it gives you the ability to get a durable coating that in the past was just really improbable.
It was my producer, Lindsay, that had first sent me the information about your company, and she sent me this, shared with me this video, and you know, she and I have worked together for a long time, and she goes, "Is this cool or not?" Question mark. And you know, and so I go, well, I'm going to spend some time, and I looked at the video and I watched it, and I have to tell you, I've seen a lot of this stuff over the years, and I was very impressed with the video, because you were very upfront and honest about how it all goes and works. And you do have, do you need to get the kind of results that you get in the video? You do have to have a little bit of an artistic flair, but it's not that you're not asking anybody to be Vincent Van Gogh.
No, exactly. And that's really our objective. I mean, I know obviously we're an enterprise and we have a profit incentive, but really we get, I guess our energy comes from being too existential, from providing people with a tool to that they can do themselves, create something that is unique and custom of their own home, and that they'll be proud of.
Yeah.
And so, so you're absolutely correct. We really take a lot of time and energy into creating the videos and being, like you said, very transparent with what our product can or can't do. Because it is, like you know, it is still paint, and just like your car, if you can get a rock chip, so you have to use cutting boards and cut it on it and trim it for something right out of the stove. But if you treat it like you would like a formica countertop or laminate countertop, you should get last as long as a laminate.
Well, the thing that kind of rang so true for me was the fact that in the video, you're showing a white, painting a countertop that is white with some gray veining in it. And, you know, about a year and a half ago, my wife and I just redid our entire kitchen with quartz countertop that almost is exactly what you guys painted on. And I was like, wow, look at the results of that. It's really something. The thing that impressed me most about it, Tim, is that it's the affordability of the kit. That's the thing that I think that for anybody's like, I just want to update this thing. I don't want to spend a lot of money.
Right.
And you sort of hit the sweet spot there because the kits start at $89.
Exactly. I can't tell you because I used to take the calls, Lou, on Saturdays because that's when most of our consumers are using the product. And when and people would call up and they'd have a question about how to do it or just to tell me, share me their experience. And I can't tell you how many people was saying, you know, my husband said there's no way I could do this. It's going to look horrible. It's not going to hold up. And they would say, and I couldn't believe I could do it myself. And they would say, I'm so happy that that I did it. It looks good. My husband is surprised and pleased with it. And not only that, I can remember there was an instance where a woman called me and said that she's been trying to sell her house for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months at a time. And the realtor said, you're never going to be able to sell this house to do some of the kitchen. And she just couldn't afford to do it, to your point. And so she bought our product, took a chance on it, and she said it sold that next weekend. Hmm. And she just was so ecstatic. So, that kind of stuff just makes us so excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, where do people find your product and learn more about it?
They could go, they can buy it certainly online, on Amazon, HomeDepot.com, Lowe's.com, Walmart.com, and then it's also on our website, but GianniGranite.com.
GianniGranite.com. Tim Haas is Vice President of Product Development at Gianni Incorporated. Tim, it's nice to talk with you once again. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you very much for sharing with your audience.
You got
it. Have a good weekend, too.
You too. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll be right back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Grant, who's been hanging on. Thanks, Grant. In St. Charles, how can I help you?
Hi, good morning, Lou.
Hi, thanks for hanging on. What can I do for you, sir?
So, last week, our external sub discharge pipe, it failed near the house, and the pipeline, the plastic pipe goes underground, and it went under some cement. So we're in the process of trying to, with a plumber, trying to figure out what options we have. In the meantime, we have a, it's like a pool hose discharge. It's like a commercial grade vinyl discharge hose that's connected to like the spout that the external, you know, water would have came out of.
Right.
And that just runs straight out into the yard. The question that I have is, the sub pump probably runs, I don't know, it's discharging water probably every minute at this point. But with the weather dropping overnight in these next 2 days, I'm just wondering if that temporary hose is the best solution at this time. I'm just worried about that it might freeze or something like that, and then it might lead to other problems. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are, and maybe a temporary solution until we could.
It's like a.
It's like a fixed.
Is it like a black flexible line? Is that what it is? Like a corrugated looking pipe?
No, it's kind of. it's kind of the. It's a blue hose that, you know, it kind of rolls up. You would use it for like a backwash for like a pool or something.
Oh, all right.
Like that.
Oh, so it's like a canvas, almost like a fire hose.
Yes, but it's not canvas. It's like vinyl.
Got it. Okay. And so when it pumps water, it kind of fills up and then it collapses back down again.
You got it. Yep, exactly.
Well, I mean, it's not going to get super cold, but the collapsing part, it could freeze. Here's what I would do. Right now you have like an inch and a half pipe. White PVC coming out of the side of the house?
Yes.
All right. Where are you? St. Charles. Okay. At the hardware store, you can buy a sump pump discharge hose, which is a black hose that comes in like a 20-foot length that's corrugated. It's a lightweight plastic. It's not heavy at all, but it does not collapse, okay? It stays rigid in the circumference of like a pipe. And so I would buy one of those. It comes with hose clamps. Take off that collapsing pipe and put that on temporarily and extend it away from the home. Now, that's one thing. And then it's going to be 50 degrees tomorrow, so nothing's going to freeze. And I would just extend it out, maybe put a couple of stones or if you have a brick or something just to keep it stretched out, you know, temporarily, you'll be fine. But what I want you to do today, before you even do any of that, is go downstairs to your sump pump and unplug it. And then pay attention to how high the water rises in the pit. Now, if it rises and it's still a good 12 inches below the top of the pit, then, Grant, what I would do is reconfigure the pump. Since you're going to have a plumber there helping you do all this anyway, raise the pump up and or the float so that the pit holds more water and the sump pump runs less often.
Okay.
I don't care if the pit holds more water, but I need that 12 inches just to make sure that I've got some room in case a bunch of, you know, rain comes in and the pump can keep up. Now, do you have a finished basement?
I'm in the process of finishing it. Actually.
All right. And are we going to put a backup pump on?
I installed one last year.
Okay, good.
So I got a backup on that.
Yeah. And then when you fix this thing outside, you know, this hose, whatever, you may want to come up with some connection at the side of the building that if that pipe were ever to freeze again, the water can still come out. And they make these little overflow fittings that can go on the end of, like, PermaSeal puts these things on where it's kind of like a open web on your fingers that the water still cascades into the pipe and goes out. But if that were to freeze, the water would just dump on the side of the house, which keeps it from flooding your basement.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
So we need some sort of relief valve at the home in case that pipe were to freeze. But I would go get a sump pump discharge hose. Make sure that I'm telling you know you're getting the right size. It should be 1.5 inches, but you may want to just check on the piping. There should be some numbering on the piping, you know, some type of letters or numbers on the side of the pipe in the basement that you should see, and it'll say 1.5 inches. Go buy 1.5 inches sump pump discharge hose to just get you through the next few days while you get this thing repaired permanently.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Lou.
You got it. Thank you so much for calling. 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
He's taking your calls till 10.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Lou Manfredini.
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
Here he is now on Hub Smarts Radio.
Still cracks me up. This hour of House Smarts Radio, sponsored by Espoma Organic Garden Fertilizers, Phoenix Brick, and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Nancy, thank you so much for hanging on. How can I help you this morning?
Hi, Lou. I have a situation with my 15-year-old boiler. The flue pipe is leaking a tar-like substance. It's dripping from the seams of this flue pipe. I had a furnace man out. He said he never saw it before. The roofing guy says he doesn't think it's coming from there. The furnace guy thinks maybe I need a chimney liner. What do you think? The house is 85 years old. The boiler is about 15 years old. The chimney itself at the top is about 15 years old.
Right. And does that chimney service anything else or just that boiler?
Just the boiler.
Right.
And the water heater.
And the water heater. There's no fireplace.
No.
Yeah.
Everything I Googled brings me to creosote.
Yeah, it sounds like that to me. Here's what I would do. Call the Lindeman Chimney Company. The thing is that if it's a masonry masonry chimney and you have a 15-year-old boiler, that boiler is not... You absolutely need a liner, and because it's not evacuating enough heat, and it's probably built up over the years when you had the old boiler, probably didn't burn as efficiently. And the moisture added to whatever soot may have been inside that old brick chimney is what is now turning to a tar-like substance, and you're seeing it on your pipe. So Lindeman Chimney can come and inspect it and clean it and install the proper liner to this boiler.
Okay.
That should have been when the boiler went in 15 years ago, that contractor should have insisted on a liner.
Yeah,
that's like a rule of thumb for anybody listening as well. If you have a brick masonry type of chimney and you're going to put in a higher efficiency boiler and or furnace that's going to vent through that, it's so much more efficient. It doesn't kick out as much heat out of the exhaust as the old ones. And so when we get really cold weather, it just sits there and it rolls and it won't evacuate the exhaust properly, where it can be huge problems down the line, which yours just took some time to, you know, show its signs, but it has all the trappings of needing a chimney liner for sure.
And that, you think, will solve the problem?
That will solve the problem. They need to clean up the flue pipe, and you should be good to go.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Good luck. I appreciate you calling. I talked to before the news about a gentleman that called three weeks ago, and he had a shower that in the middle of the night would turn on, and we asked him to try something, and then we were going to call him back, and he's back on the line. Hey, Craig, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. I'm well. Can you remind our audience what was happening with your shower?
Yeah, so in the middle of the night, almost every night, it wakes me up, and it's a master suite, so it's adjacent to our master bedroom, and the shower would all of a sudden, 1 a.m. in the morning, 3 a.m. in the morning, go on for a light drizzle, it doesn't go on full force, and it goes on for maybe 2 or 3 seconds, and then that's it. And
it only and it would only happen in the middle of the night.
Correct.
And then, and I said to you, is there a way to wedge something in there from the back wall, like a broomstick or something, right?
Yes, and that's what I did. So that stopped. It didn't occur when I did that for 4 consecutive nights. Then when I removed it, it started again. Again, not every night, but almost every night in the middle of the night. So we have one of these water pick, you know, handheld sprayers. So then I lowered that to release any excess water that was left in there from the shower taken earlier in the day, and then put it back up, and so it would not do it at those times. It only does it, apparently, when we've taken a shower earlier in the day and left that handheld device intact.
You didn't tell me about the handheld device the first time.
Yeah, I may have mentioned it, but yeah, we were.
So wait a minute. So in other words, you have a pull-down spray.
Right.
That is your shower head, but you have the ability to, like, you know, to use it as a personal shower.
Correct.
And when you release the pressure from that, it doesn't turn back on.
It doesn't turn back on. But I also talked to the village to say, is there, you know, been any surges that one could be having? And they said no, and they said it would happen on any of your faucets if there was a surge, but that hasn't been happening.
Yeah. And does your faucet, is it a pull-out and then you adjust, or is it a turn and then it's a pull-out, correct?
It's a pull-out, correct. Okay. Single handle.
Well, that's interesting that there'd be enough pressure buildup in that to turn the valve on. But if you release the pressure, then it doesn't do it.
Correct.
Huh. All right.
It's very odd, and that's why, you know, I said my shower may be haunted.
Yeah. But at least we know. Now we're pretty sure that we don't have a... how about this, then? With that personal shower, I mean, could we... could you temporarily then, just to make sure that this is what it is, which it sounds like it is, do you use that personal shower a lot? In other words, could you temporarily put a shower head, just a regular shower head on there?
We could. In fact, we have a new one that, you know, I haven't installed yet, personal shower handheld. We have a new one wife bought, and I could install the new one.
Yeah, let's see if that makes a difference. There's got to be something weird with that water pick. That's weird. That's weird that even though, I mean, I don't know that I would have, had I even known that about the personal shower, I wouldn't have anticipated to release the pressure, because I wouldn't have thought there's no way that it's doing that. But there must be enough back pressure on it just to give you a little bit of a temporary, almost like a draining of it.
Right.
Because it would only come out of the head, right?
Correct. And even so, you know, the hose, you know, goes down a couple of feet.
Sure.
And back up.
Sure.
I think there's enough water pressure all of a sudden.
Right. And then it just releases at the top.
Correct.
Yeah, let's try a new head and see what's happening. I'm glad you don't have a ghost, or at least we don't think so.
We hope not.
Right. I'm never coming to your house. Craig, thanks so much for making yourself available. Have a great day, and get ready for the snow. 312-981-7200. This is Julie in Hoffman Estates. Hey, Julie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi there. I was just wondering, my neighbor has a door that their dog scratched the living daylights out of it. What's the best way to repair it?
Say that again. You have a neighbor's dog that scratches the inside or the outside of the door?
The outside of it's a wood patio door.
Right. I mean, and what's the finish on it? Is it stained or is it painted?
No, it's just painted.
Okay. Lightly sand down the areas where the scratches are. You may have to use a little wood putty to fill in any grooves that are there. Then sand that, and then a little primer, and then repaint. And then we need to get the dog to stop scratching.
Yeah, it's a puppy. It hasn't done it in a long time, but okay.
Yeah, and so, you know, that could be just putting something in front of the door just to block the dog a little bit, you know, to change the behavior. But if you use a little wood putty, primer, and then paint, you should be able, if it's a painted finish, you should be able to blend it all in, no problem.
Okay, thanks for your help.
Thanks, Julie. I appreciate you hanging on, too. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Pat in Barrington. Pat, good morning. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I am fantastic. How can I help you?
I'm interested in getting my heating ducts cleaned, and I have never had it done in the house. We've lived there since early 70s, and I see ads for so many companies, but I just don't know who to choose, and I'm hoping you can recommend a good company.
Here's what I want you to stay away from is anybody that says they'll clean your ductwork for $99.
Okay.
Because they're just not going to use the right process. It is about... Okay. Vacuuming and then using what's called an air whip and a brush. And so whomever you call, those are the processes that you need to contact. Now, we have a sponsor here. You're in Barrington. They may or may not go that far, but you can ask them. It's Dykstra Home Services.
Okay. And where are they out of?
Well, they're based in Tinley Park, but they work all over the place, and they work all over the Chicagoland area. And I would start there, and if they don't come to you, they have some other companies they work with that use the same process that they may be able to recommend.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
So
that sounds good.
Their website is DykstraHomeServices.com. You can find the number there.
Okay. Wonderful. And could I ask you one more question?
Of course.
Okay, I have a fireplace in the family room that has a gas starter. We don't use logs. We use a gas line and whatever.
Okay.
And a year ago in summer, we had a local company come out and rehab it. They clean the logs. They put in that new fluff, you know, that they put underneath it and everything.
Yeah,
this winter, and we smelled gas. Who should I call that company back?
Of course.
Or who would I have checked that out?
Well, I mean, if you paid them to do that, in other words, you used it once and you smelled gas?
Well, no, we didn't. We had it cleaned in the summer of 17 and didn't use it over that winter, but we went to use it this last winter and then smelled gas in the house.
Well,
so I doubt that, you know, they're going to.
Yeah, right. Then why don't we call the Lindeman Chimney Company, because they'll be the right ones to call for that.
Okay.
CleanFireplace.com is their website. They'll come out and check it all out for you and make sure it's safe. And if there's any repair needed, they can help you.
Okay, very good. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Have a great day, Pat. Don't forget to contribute to Misericordia Candy Days as you're driving around today. There's hundreds of volunteers around the Chicagoland area that are collecting for Misericordia. It's a very important fundraiser for them. Misericordia is a home for 600 adults and children with developmental disabilities, and they just do great work. A huge salute to the staff and all the volunteers that are out today collecting. I'm sure they're all hoping to get to their quota before the snow comes, and that only happens with your generosity. So if you've contributed, God bless you, and if you haven't, I'll God bless you too. Thanks so much.
Hey, this is Quinn Manfredini, host of Deep Dish Sports Talk. You're listening to House Smarts Radio and my dad, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never.
That is my number one son. He is host of the Deep Dish Sports Talk podcast that Joe Brand a couple weeks ago was a guest on. Fine episode. Learning about your career and how you started. His latest episode with Doc Emrick is also an interesting one to hear about his start. And Joe Brand, it is not unlike your beginning.
Well, I'm just really glad he had me go on before Doc Emrick.
Stop it.
I didn't want to follow up the voice of hockey.
First of all, Doc Emrick, who has been such a fan of not only this show, but this station, WGN, he lives in Michigan, but listens to WGN Radio almost religiously, he and his wife, and they're just such kind people. And he was so kind to take the time to talk with Quinn, and
his one of his co-hosts, Sean, when Doc was in town doing, I think, one of the final home Hawks games.
Mm-hmm.
And in the episode, if you're a podcast listener at all, what I love about the juxtaposition is here is a person that's, you know, arguably at the top of the broadcasting pyramid, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's fair to say.
Yes.
I mean, he's just this well-respected, immensely talented gentleman who is the humblest and kindest person you ever want to meet. I mean, he just deflects any kind of praise that you would give to him whatsoever. And he's talking to a couple of kids doing a podcast for free, right? I mean, just the whole stretch of that era. But he talks about on this podcast about like his very first job, which I think was like $100 a week or something like that. And all he ever wanted to do was call hockey games. You know what I mean? I mean, Joe, you talked about the fact that baseball is your first love, right?
Mm-hmm.
It isn't that you won't call a hockey game or a basketball game or a football game because you're a broadcaster, but you love baseball.
Right. It's just, it's my bread and butter. It's the one I feel most confident in. It's what I grew up
loving
the most. He
loves hockey. And you know, I mean, the thing is, as a broadcaster, you know, and I think you'll admit to this, right? It's like hockey's hard. It's fast. Oh. And it's, the names are tough. And, you know, anyway, it's a really good episode. And just to hear about Doc's beginning, is really cool. So if you do podcasts at all, go to your podcasting app or iTunes, whatever it is. Go to Deep Dish Sports Talk, and Manfredini's son, number one, is one of the hosts of the show. It's really good. Really good.
You can find it on Twitter, too, I think. Deep Dish, at Deep Dish Sports Talk.
Thank you.
Twitter handle, and they promoted that one,
too. They had the young kids to tell me how to do all that stuff. Thank you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Tom in West Chicago. Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. How can I help you, sir?
Well, I got a situation where we have a single sink that's a big sink. It's copper, and it's real deep, and it has a garbage disposal on it. And I had a new dishwasher installed, and a friend of mine who is an inspector said it's not code because the dishwasher was hooked up to there's a little neck on the garbage disposal for a dishwasher.
Correct.
And so that's how they hooked it up. But I guess according to Illinois law, that's illegal.
It's definitely not the correct hookup in the city of Chicago. I don't know about the entire state of Illinois, but I mean,
you know, I researched it on the internet, and it said something about where the dishwasher comes into the drain system has to be at least 20 inches off the floor, but we don't have that 20 inches.
Right. So here's
a deep sink.
Right. So here's what plumbers will typically do with that. Cuz you want to have a loop in there. That's the whole, and it's a whole backflow preventing thing in case it came in. That's why that code is like that. The drain pipe ultimately after the sink connection everything, is it in the wall or does it go in the floor?
It goes in the wall.
Goes in the wall. Okay. So a plumber will take from the wall, they will install a Y. And and the Y, one half of the Y will go and connect to your disposal and your sink and everything. The other half of the Y, they'll connect a trap right to the Y up high. And then they'll put an extension going up with another piece of pipe and then a fitting on top where they can take the drain hose and go into that trap here's the downside. What kind of dishwasher do you have? Is it an American dishwasher or is it an import?
Yeah, I think it's my daughter's. I think it's like a Samsung.
Okay.
So the drain, you know, the drain tube from the dishwasher goes up high, like through a hole underneath the countertop.
Correct.
And they have a quartz countertop because I had also read something about air gaps, which they don't want to do a hole for air gap, you know?
Right. If you loop it around, if it were me, the right connection is a Y. One half of the Y feeds the sink. The other half in the Y, the plumber puts a trap in and a drain tube. You do that loop. You know, the basically that air check valve or an RPZ valve is also for backflow, and it it may or may not be required depending on where you live, but it's not necessarily something you have to do. And to get it to function properly is what I should say. And you loop that around, go into that separated trap that's coming off that Y. That would be the preferred method to go do that.
I see. So you're not you're talking about two P traps, just one P trap. That
no, there's two. There's two P traps. You have a P trap for the sink or the disposal, and then a separate P trap for the dishwasher.
Got it. Okay.
A good plumber will be able to do that pretty quickly and not a problem.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're a good man, Tom. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou. That's right, that Fix-It guy. Right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Over the horizon, smooth sailing, he's kind of deep sea. Now she headed east down the boulevard, Duval.
Welcome back.
Said I like the way.
A Leon Bridges for you this morning. 312-981-7200. Welcome back. Dina is in Joliet. Hi, Dina. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Pride John.
Hi, good morning.
This is not a fix-it, but it is really important. Right now, we have a whirlpool tub, and it's kind of high. You know how high they are to get in.
Sure.
And we've had it like for, maybe 12 years or so. But I'm at the stage now that I can't get into it. So we're looking into buying a walk-in tub with the shower. And is there possibly one walk-in tub with a stand-up shower and a handheld?
Oh, with a stand-up shower.
Yeah, and a handheld. Have you seen it advertised on TV?
I've seen the walk-in showers, the walk-in tubs that have a handheld, but I haven't seen them where it's that you can stand in there as well.
Well, I don't know if you stand or you, you would have to stand. But we've seen three different advertisements, one by Pat Boone, one by Eric Roberts, and one by Terry Bradshaw. And we're really looking into it.
Right.
And,
so we, a few years ago, interviewed a company out of Canada that the name is escaping me right now, that they actually were like one of the first companies to invent the walk-in tub. And they were ones that really had the best reviews. And they were the kind of things, Dina, that you walk in, you sit, you know, pretty elevated, and there's a handheld shower that you can use while you're seated.
Okay.
And I think, if I remember right, they had a couple of options where maybe they had a little bit of a glass enclosure around it that elevated up a little bit. But it wasn't completely that you could stand up like a regular shower. It was really more to you could shower, but you could also take a tub. And they had ones that were soaker tubs. They had ones that were jetted, and they're not an inexpensive proposition. That's like an $8,000 or $9,000 proposition installed.
And that is installed by the company. You don't know of anyone that would sell them, not like local, but call the number.
Sure. I mean, look, the thing is, you're going to need a plumber to put this in, right?
Right.
And you have a couple of options here. Plumbers911.com is probably the collection of probably the best trained plumbers in the Chicagoland area.
That's plumbers911.com.
You go there, type in your zip code, they'll get you a name of a few plumbers, and you talk about walk-in tubs, and they can show you all these options. I'm going to keep listening. If I can come up in the next 10 minutes with the name of the company that I remember, I really like this company. It was like Diamond or Crystal, something like that, made in Canada, but they ship them all over the world, and they were like one of the highest-reviewed walk-in tubs that were there. Let me see if we can find it. Keep listening. We'll give that information out. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. All right, I could not find the name of that company. Lindsay has it. So, Dina, either send me an email at housesmartstv.com or listen next week. I'll definitely get that information to you about that as well. I just couldn't find the name of that company. Let's talk to Gus, who is in Chicago. Gus, good morning. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. How are you? I listen to you every Saturday.
Oh, you're a good man, Gus. Thank you very much.
I'm at work, and the problem I have with the sump pump, actually, it's not a problem. The sump pump I have right now, it works fine. It's from Home Depot. I installed it myself.
All right.
It's been there for 5 years. It does the job. But now I want to install a pump, a combination primary and backup pump.
Okay.
My problem is I looked up some pumps, and they all need 18-inch pit to install them. They don't fit in there.
Yeah.
The pit is only 12 inches.
Okay.
And all these pumps I looked up, is they require 18-inch the pit hole.
So how deep is the pit you have, Gus?
I would say 6 feet, maybe.
Okay.
Not six.
No.
About
maybe
4 or 5.
Yeah, okay.
About four.
Okay, you got a couple ways to go here. Instead of, you can buy a backup pump. You know, a lot of these small, here's the thing, a lot of these smaller pumps, Gus, they don't move as much water as your primary pump if they're too small. So that's what you have to pay attention to about the backup. Now, you know, these are 12, typically, they're, if you're going to do this yourself, these are typically 12-volt pumps, right?
Right.
You can mount that pump, and you can use a, you can use either hose clamps or you can use zip ties and mount it over the top of your existing pump, okay? So, in other words, with the pipe, the inch-and-a-half pipe that's coming up, right, and it's going out through the, it's going out, up and out of the house.
In the front yard.
Correct.
I have a problem, which I will tell you in a minute as you finish talking.
You can mount that that pump right there, and then when the water, if that old pump fails, as the water comes up, the new pump's going to pick it up right at that point, so you don't have to put it next to the other one, you put it on top.
On the top, okay.
Does that make sense?
I got it. It makes sense. I only looked one up, which is kind of
a combination side by side.
Yeah. Pro Series. You ever heard of that? Pro Series?
Did you get that?
Combination primary? I didn't get it. I'm just looking it up. It's kind of expensive anyway.
Yeah.
But that's the only one might fit in my pit.
The other one that you probably, you know, one of the pump companies is a local company called Basement Watchdog.
I look at that too. That's, they also requires 18 inches.
They that one you can mount on top of the pump as well.
Well, okay. I look at Zoller and all of them, they do require an 18-inch pit. Now, my next question, okay, fine. My next question is this. This pump discharges in the front of the yard because there is a law. This is in Morton Grove. There was a law that they had to, instead of put them in the sewer, they put them on outside of the house in the front yard. So the front yard now, the problem I have, which I solved it temporarily, and I want to hear your opinion, how do I solve it permanently? I put a diverter in there because it freezes in the wintertime.
Right.
The pipe goes outside.
Right.
So I put a diverter, and I put it in the wintertime, I put it in the sewer. In the summertime, I put it on the outside. Wife doesn't like the black pipe, the discharge pipe that is outside in the yard. That's okay by me, but how do I solve that problem?
Gus, you're
permanently, instead of having a diverter
to
do this winter and summertime.
Right. So, Gus, I can tell by your accent you're not Italian, right?
No, I'm Greek.
I know. So, you know, putting the water in the sewer, they don't like that. But there's an old there's an old Italian saying that says, onesto si, ma stupido no, which translates to be honest, but don't be stupid. So if you divert like that, I understand you have to do that, but you can also put on the outside of the home, you could put a Y with a little extension that if that pipe freezes, it'll just pump the water out onto the ground. It'll cause your pump to run more often, but then you don't have to worry about a diverter. It'll just automatically do that without having to turn something.
Yeah, but the thing is the discharge pipe comes out of the house.
Correct.
Okay. That freezes just by itself.
Right. Well, then we can
come out about 2 feet. I mean, a foot and a half.
Well, then we probably have to adjust that and make sure that it's pitched correctly so that it doesn't freeze. But if you put a Y right there, then it won't freeze coming straight out. And if it freezes, it'll just pump the water away. Or you divert it into the sewer like you've been doing and you don't tell anybody. Gus, thank you so much. I'm just bumping up against time. My thanks to Ben for producing, Ferguson for pushing the buttons, Don Kleppen on news, and Joe Brand on sports.